Welcome, Anesis.
Yes, sir.
You must know, all of you, I'm looking at all of you in your deshi bideshis. You'll be deshi deshi, right?
Don't disappear.
But you must know, it's not such an easy thing to enter into another sangha, another culture, another place. You always feel a little, are they going to like me? Are they going to hate me? What's going to happen? So, it's not such a small thing because we want community. Bhakti really is all about community, as we'd like to speak directly or indirectly for the next few days. It's all about community. And community is not a cheap thing. Community also gives the understanding implicitly of exclusivity. If you have a good community, it means not everybody's part of it. Because if everybody's part of it, it's not a community. So community is something with like-minded people who are close together. And we don't necessarily just invite everybody else into that. And a wonderful example is here in Gaura Lila, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began the Sankirtan movement in Srivas Sangam, the house of Srivas Thakur, there was probationary shade. Outside people not allowed inside, only that inside group. And partly he did that for an internal and external reason. One reason for us is to teach us what it means to have community. And we want to go everywhere and share with everyone the happiness of Krishna consciousness and bhakti and Srila Prabhupada's books and the holy name. We'd like the whole planet to be a community of devotees. But at the same time, we also need to have our own private sanghas with our families and close friends and things. So I feel very touched and very honored that you'd let me come something tonight, and I can try to enter a little into that. So we're going to sing a song. Everything begins with a song, ends with a song. It's a song you, most all of you must know. Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan. Right? But we're going to do this in an Orissa raga called Kalavati. It's actually a raga for about this time of day. Kalavati is a name for Radharani. She's the greatest dancer, the greatest artist. Kala means art. And the arrangement is a little different. We sing... Listen carefully. Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan, Jai Vrindavan. Twice we sing Jai Vrindavan. Okay? You got that? Okay, and then that's the chorus. In between each set of lines, we'll all sing all together at the same time. Double time with the mridanga. We'll sing Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan, Jai Vrindavan all together. And in between, just before that, I'll sing just a little thing by myself. Jai Vrindavan, Jai Vrindavan. You'll see, that's by myself, and then everybody together. It's not too complicated, is it? Can we do the whole song, or just the first few lines? Does everybody have a smartphone with it, or something? If you don't... Does anybody not have it? Raise your hand. You don't have? You have. You don't have. Do you have a songbook or something she can use?
She can follow it.
Okay, it's pretty simple.
Namo Shivaya,
Bhaktivedanta Swami. All together. Namaste Sarasvati Devi. Gaudavani Pracharine. Nirsesa Sunyavadi. Astuchari Bolo. Ansha Kalpacharubhyascha. Thank you. しわたわだしゃかyou
Bhakti Chandra Pailo Govinda.
Yeah. Thank you.
sell a shaggy taco, a purple pie, a king. She prayed not the Nityan on the purple cage. She prayed over the sultan, such a man that I go to Hari Kid. Oh, Giridaj Maharaj, a kid. She got a coon and shamakoon, and he go with the king. She prayed not the non king. She might have worn out a deep down king. She put a shot on Kato, the Columba Kato, to the Napoli Dama King. She shot a college on JJ K. She got a shot to K. She looked like a hard K. What pretty man on the other day? Some of the day, the all gloriously, some of the day. All gloriously, some of the day. All gloriously, some of the day. All glories, the son of the Lord Jesus. All glories, the Shishi Guru. All glories, Shishi Guru. Gana go to the Lord of Haram. Goranga Guru Tamago Pyadako Pabriksham. Gopala Gara Ratidam Yati Singha Gora. Govinda Deshi Kavaram Satatam Namami Uttama Adama Kichuna Bachi Jachi Avile Kapola Kahe Premananda Emona Goranga Vidoya Dariya Bola Vajra Goranga Kaha Goranga Laha Goranga Ranga Goranga Bhaje, say hoy amara prana re jay jana. Goranga Bhaje, say hoy amara prana re. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Prema Vedana Parama Pumarta Tis my Jagan Mangala Mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Madgavirapi Gopala Sri Kuryat Kripaya Jadi Tadaiva sambhaya pitva rishya yustat priya janaha Shri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana rupaka Gopala Raghunathapta Vrajabala bapahima Namo Vrindavanankaya Tubhyam Goloka Molane Purna Brahmata Patraya Namo Govardhanaya cha, Namo Govardhanaya cha, Namo Govardhanaya cha, Pancha Kalpadarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyeva cha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo, Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare
Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So again, I want to thank everyone very much for coming. I'd like to try to think a little something about what we want to accomplish, but I'm at a great disadvantage because I don't know all of you. We'd like to have a Vaishnav Sangha. That's my service, to try to help facilitate a Vaishnav Sangha. But I'm a Bideshi here, and you're all Deshis. I don't know how to enter into your Sangha. So I need a little help. Just like if all of you pretty much look like professionals, if you want to enter into the university, you want to take a particular class, you have to apply for it. And there might be some interview also to see if you're an appropriate person to attend that class. So we'd like to speak something which is a little bit higher. Rupa Goswami, he says that Guhyam Akyati Pritchati, that if we want to have some, we want to develop bhakti, sadvidam priti lakshanam, there are six things which are required. And one of them is that Guhyam Akyati Pritchati, we should have some very intimate kind of katha. And if you think about it, this is the basis of friendship. You meet someone in the market and you look at them and they have a similar color of skin and you say, where are you from? And they say, well, I'm from Gujarat. Really? Do you know? And you start speaking to them in Gujarati and you feel very close. There's a little something guyam, something there, right? This is a basis of all friendship. This is a basis of all relationships. The relationship of husband and wife, the relationship of parents and children, the relationship in societies, friends, the relationship between guru and disciple. All relationships require some glue that keeps them together. And that glue is Guhyam Akyati Pritchati, some confidential discussion. But that has to be appropriate with the right person, your cultured persons. The conversation that you have with your wife, and the things that you say, you don't speak with your friends at work about that. I hope not. That would be very bad. Your wife would be very upset. And similarly, in school, every young girl knows. Sometimes they go to school and they say, two little girls meet for the first time. And they say, hey, what's your name? My name's Brenda. Well, what's your name? Oh, my name is Sally. Oh, would you be my best friend? And then girls say like that, right? Isn't it? They say, I'll tell you a secret. Oh, what is it? Such and such girl likes such and such boy. This is the kind of, am I correct? This is the kind of secrets girls have in school. Don't tell anyone. So if immediately you just walk away, hey, did you hear what I just heard? And you start telling people, it's not appropriate. So there has to be some kind of guyam. There has to be something which we have, which is a little close to the heart. Rupa Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on Bhagavatam 4.9.11, he says that bhakti, composed out of hearing and chanting, even though we're hearing and chanting together, it's very nice, but if you're hearing and chanting, it's not sweet if there's not proper association. There should be proper association. Then it becomes very, very sweet. And we have to know how to behave in that proper association. So I'm at a disadvantage. I'm a bideshi here. So I'd like to ask you just a couple questions just to help me. How many of you here chant 16 rounds every day? It's okay if you don't. Okay. How many of you here are initiated devotees? Okay. How many of you have been practicing bhakti for more than 5 years? Raise your hand. Okay, quite a bit. How many of you have read Krishna book? Okay, most of you. How many of you know where Govardhan is? How many of you have been to Govardhan? How many of you know the pastime of Govardhan Dharana Leela, the lifting of Govardhan Hill? Okay, very good. So can I say a few things about that, a little bit deeper than we might normally hear? And we'd like to try to go on this particular path. I'm also aware that it would be very rude for me to go on and speaking for 4 or 5 hours. Tonight you might feel a little pinched because you have children and you have other things going on in your life also. That would be also very rude. But I have so many things we'd like to talk about that I'd like to please you with and come close together with. But our time is a little limited. So I think it will continue for a few days. We're going to have 4 sessions on this Govardhan Dharana Leela. And I'd like to begin just by speaking some things about this pastime from the perspective given by Srila Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu, primarily, but also from different acharyas and different things you might not have heard before, but from another perspective also, which relates to us. Because Govardhan Dharana Leela, the holding of Govardhan Hill, is one of Krishna's nimittic leelas. This is a little technical. These guys are going to suffer right now. I'm sorry. It's okay. Do you know what nimittic means? No, you don't. That's okay. We'll explain. But you won't be really interested in this, I know. Sometimes it's very difficult to sit in class like this, isn't it? Is it true? Yeah, I know. It gets really boring sometimes, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay. We got it. So we'll try to say something also that's appropriate for you. Just be patient for a minute. Okay? So nimittic means occasional. Krishna has two particular types of pastimes. He has his Nitya Leela and his nimittic Leela. The nimittic Leela, the pastimes which take place here in Boma Vrindavan, and these include the pastime of killing Putana, and the killing of all the different demons, and lifting Govardhan Hill, leaving Vrindavan. And all these different pastimes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, because they happen here, they relate to us. And there's a purport, a way that we can enter into those pastimes, which is relevant for us. So Govardhan Dharana Leela also has something to do with me. And we'd like to try to discuss what that is, how it's relevant for me, what I can get from this, how it's relevant for my community. No. We're going to get to something in a moment. Be patient. Okay. So there's a few things we'd like to discuss over the next few days. I'd like to kind of show you a menu of things before we begin. We'd like to speak something about this pastime and a purport of it for our benefit, for our relevance in terms of community. That will probably take, I think, probably at least two sessions. And then we'd also like to say something about other topics connected with Govardhan Hill, some mysterious topics. I'll tell you one. Why is it that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not walk on Govardhan Hill in Vrindavan, right? But when he went to Jagannath Puri and he saw the sand dune known as Chatak Parvat, he saw it as Govardhan and he walked on it. Why? Now you may say because it's not Govardhan, but we're not satisfied with that. He saw it as Govardhan and he walked on it. Why is that? Why did, and on the other hand, why is it that Madhavendra Puri walked on Govardhan Hill? He made a temple on top of the hill. This is a little commercial announcement. We made a magazine. I've been working on this magazine for about 20 years, actually. Many mysterious things about Govardhan. I'm going to pass this around. And you have to return it, otherwise we will call the police. Okay, actually maybe I'll pass around two copies even. It's open up here. And you see on the bottom right, there's a beautiful picture I want all of you to look at. This is a picture of the top of Govardhan Hill, and there's a temple. And this is a 500-year-old temple. What page is that? This is a temple of Gopal that was constructed by Madhavendra Puri with the help of a drone. We got this picture. Point that out. So we're going to answer that question. We're going to address that and some other very mysterious things, as well as a very relevant question. Does anybody here worship Govardhan Shilas in your home? Raise your hand. Well, he's a Pujari. Okay, so did you ever wonder, is Giriraj, is he a devotee, or is he Krishna? He's Krishna, or is he a devotee? Some people say he's a devotee, some say he's Krishna. And not only that, it gets more confusing. Some people, they have Govardhan Shilas, and they worship them as Balaram. Or as Radharani. Is that Shastric, or how do we understand that? We'd like to speak about that something. Does anybody here know what Gunja is, Gunja Mala? Gunja berries. Raise your hand if you're familiar with Gunja. Okay, good. So we have something nice to talk to you about. Gunja is these red beads. We have our Giriraj in there. He has a big blue turban on. And he has some red beads around his neck. Those are Gunja mala. They're more dear to Krishna than pearls and gold. Why? And you know those beads, those seeds, known as Gunja, they're one of the most poisonous seeds in the world. If you pierce a needle to the seed and you pierce your skin, you could die. They're so very, very toxic. Why does Krishna like something that's so very, very toxic? And what is the story behind that? And that's the story of Gunja. We'll tell you that story in a few days. And we may also speak something about different types of worship of Giriraj and why some people worship him as Balaram and Radharani, and is that bona fide and how do we understand that, and is Giriraj a devotee, is he not a devotee, why did Mahaprabhu walk on Govardhan? So many different types of things we'd like to speak about with you. But I'd like to begin by speaking something about this pastime of Govardhan Dharana Leela. On one occasion, Balakrishna, who was just a very young boy, about his age, that time, maybe your age, how old are you?
Huh?
7 years old. You're about the same age as Krishna when he lifted Govardhan Hill. Do you sometimes lift mountains with your hands? Do you ever lift mountains with your hands? No? But I'll bet you cause trouble sometimes at home, yes? It's okay. I also did when I was there. So when Krishna was the same age as you guys, he was 7 years old, these are our heroes tonight. The rest of us are just old people. But you're the proper age for this pastime. When Krishna was 7 years old, the same age as you. How old are you? You're also seven. Okay, all right. Anybody else here 7 years old? In your heart. When Krishna was about 7 years old, he returned home. He'd been herding the calves all day because Krishna had a job. His job wasn't just playing with toys all day, like some people we know. He was actually taking care of calves. And you see the young boys in India today, I see them. Sometimes in the West we have this Western idea, this is unfair and we should just let children play for eternity. And they play when they're kids, and then I notice when they go to high school they also continue to play. They think, and then they go to college, oh, life's all about playing. And they never really grow up. Isn't it? You see, especially with people in American culture today. And it's just parties and girls and whatever. And they never really, because everything's just about me. But when you see cultures like in India, boys your age, they'll have a stick and they have six or eight cows and they're taking care of them. And that boy feels, he feels really good about himself. I'm doing something important. Krishna was like that. He wanted to do something to help his family. This is community. It's not just that, I'll tell you a secret. This may come as a shock to the three of you, okay? But your mother and your father are actually persons. And their purpose in life is not just to cook for you and to clean up after you and take you to school. They're also persons. And you should do things sometimes for your parents too. Sometimes you might cook for your mother. Did you ever think of doing that? No, you haven't. That's okay. You can think about that sometimes. So Krishna, this is community. Community means to empower. And especially means to empower the children. Community, real progressive community, means a place that's free from envy. Not like I someone saw a bumper sticker that said that, what was it? I'm trying to remember. Something like old age and deviousness will always overcome youth and skill. So that's all about envy. You become an old person like me. I'm almost 60 years old. I'm becoming very old. And we become envious of younger people. They're handsome. Girls like them. Girls don't like me anymore. They're very strong. They can run fast. I can't run fast anymore. They can do so many things. So old age and treachery. That's what it said. Old age and treachery will always overcome youth and skill. That's their hope. But it doesn't really work that way. And that's a society that's full of envy. We want society which is free from envy. That means Vrindavan. And a society which is free from envy means a society which is happy to empower others. So when Krishna was like 5 years old, he said, Bapa, I want to start taking care of the cows. I want to do something. And so on Gopastami day, Krishna started taking care of the cows, and they still have a wonderful festival I've attended in Nandagaon, in Braj. It's the big festival of the year. And all the kids come and they steal candy because that's what little boys do. And they throw candy out to everyone and they take care of the cows that day. So Krishna came home after herding the cows. It was sunset. And Balaram was there and all the cowherd boys. And Krishna noticed that something was going on. that everybody was bringing all these different kusha grass and firewood and ghee and rice and all these different ingredients. Everybody was very busy. And he went to his father. He called his father Bapa. And Bapa in Sanskrit means pita or daddy, we would say. And he said, Bapa, what's going on? What kind of function is happening here? And Nanda Maharaj, he looked at his son, and he said, Lala, that's what he called his little boy, Lala. He said, we're going to do a yajna. And Krishna, he said, Bapa, what kind of yajna? Who's meant to be pleased by it? I want to know. You please tell me all about this yajna. And what items are you using? What's the benefit of the yajna? And who is the big devata who's going to eat so much? You're cooking so many things. If you see your mother cooking so many things, you want to know, right? Who are you cooking for? Is it for me? You want to know. But Krishna is asking, who is this yajna going to be for? So Nanda Maharaj, he looked at his son, and all the other older cowherd men looked at him also, and they thought, he's just a little boy. He can't understand. Do they ever treat you like that sometimes? People say, you can't understand. You're just a little boy. Did they ever do that to you? Yeah? How does it make you feel? Do you like that? No, you don't like that. No? I hated that when I was a little boy. Krishna also didn't like that. And he said, Bapa, you should tell me. What is it all about? And there they were thinking, how is this little boy going to understand all these very intricate details and things? And Krishna said, Bapa, it's not good that I should only know how to take care of cows. I should also know how to do puja, right? He's our pujari. I should know how to do puja. I should know how to play harmonium. Do you know how to play harmonium? You should learn. Or mridanga. I should learn how to do these things also. I should learn, he said, some philosophy and some religion. So Bapa, he said, I may have to do this yajna someday. So you please explain it to me. This is our culture. This is what we want to preserve. This is why so many Deshi people, when they come to America, they find out about ISKCON because they want to preserve their culture. They're worried about their children. This is a very important thing. It's a very good consideration. So Nanda Maharaj, he looked at his little boy, and he didn't say anything because he's saying, what can he understand? And Krishna says, Bapa. He said please explain it to me. I'm very interested to know. He said, Father, some people, they do things and they know what the result's going to be. And some people, they do things when they don't know what the result's going to be. So the people who know what they're doing, they're going to get a good result. And the people who don't know, who knows what kind of result are they going to get? And he said, Bapa, saintly persons, they don't keep secrets. Especially from their family. You can tell your father like this sometimes. Okay? You should tell me what's going on. And you speak like this to your father, he'll be very charmed. He'll like that very much. That's very good. So then Krishna sat down next to his father, and Nanda Maharaj picked him up and he started stroking his head. And Krishna, he said, Bapa, I really want to know, what is the meaning of this yajna? Is it something which is given in the Vedas? Or is it just doing it because other people do it? Is it some, what is it like? So Nanda Maharaj, he was very charmed by the words of his little Gopal. Sometimes you charm your mother and father, yes? Yes, yes, you like to do that. Yes, you're a very charming person, I can see it. Very dangerous, okay? So Krishna, he spoke in such a sweet way. Nanda Maharaj's heart melted. And he said, well, Lala, this ceremony, it's a popular custom. And we've been doing it for so long in our village that we consider it to be somewhat Vedic. And you find this all over India also. What is a marriage ceremony in India? Well, if you go to West Bengal, it's one thing. If you go to Gujarat, it's something else. If you go to Orissa, it's something else. If you go to South India, it's something else. What is really a Vedic ceremony? Well, there's also tradition. And that's a very important part of community. So Nanda Maharaj, he told Krishna that this ceremony is a very important part of our life because we're cowherd people. So it's been passed down from generation to generation, and we worship Indradev because Indra is very important. He's in charge of everything. We should respect authority. Did they ever tell you that? No one tell you that? They don't tell you listen to your mother? They tell you that. That means respect authority. Okay? You should listen to your teacher, right? Sometimes it's hard for kids because they're always told, listen to your mother, listen to your father. We were hearing a lot of that around this house today, right? I'm going to count to four, and then you're in big trouble, right? If you don't do this. And sometimes kids, they feel a little unhappy with that. Why? Because they can't control anything. Rather, everybody's always controlling them. It's a little frustrating. Sometimes kids even, that they say that's why they like to have little toys and they like to smash them. They like to bash them and things. Because I can be in control of this toy. It's something that goes, it's something connected with upadis, designations. That, okay, you're a little boy and then you have to listen and you have to do everything you're told. And they feel a little pinched. So Krishna wanted to know, why are we doing this thing? Then we feel a little bit happier. So Nanda Maharaj told him, we've been doing this Indra Puja for a long time. He said, do you know who Indra Dev is? Do you know who Indra is? Who is Indra? It's a very important person, right? He gives rain. Okay. One of his names is Devaraj. Do you know what Devaraj means? You don't know what Devaraj... You don't speak Hindi at all? No? Deva means a god. And Raj means... What does Raj mean? King. So he's the king of the demigods. You could say he's kind of like the supreme temple president in the universe. He's a devotee. He's an important person. The Bhagavatam says, Indra vyakalam lokam ridayanti yuge yuge. The Krishna comes again and again to support Indra. Because God always supports organized religion. It's very, very important. So he said that we worship Indradev, like he's saying, because Indradev controls the clouds, he gives rain. And rain brings happiness and life to everyone. Rain makes grass grow. And our job is we take care of the cows. So we need the rain. Rain is very, very important for us. The rain gives the grass, the cows eat that grass, and the cows give us our milk and ghee and different products for the yajna. So it's by the mercy of Indra that we get all this. So then Krishna heard all that. He said, Bapa, okay. He said, but if someone doesn't do this puja to Indra, what will happen? He's asking very good questions to his father. He's 7 years old at this time, Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj, he said, if this worship's not done, then there'll be no rain. The trees won't grow. There'll be no grass. We won't be able to take care of our cows. He says, Lala, if someone gives up this yajna because of pride or fear or envy, then there won't be any good fortune for them. On the other hand, persons who perform this yajna, they become very glorious. But those who neglect it, they can't get relief from their difficulties. So Nanda Maharaj explained very carefully all these things, and all the Gopa men, the cowherd men, were listening to that. We in Vrindavan, we call them gwalas, take care of the cows. They were listening and shaking their heads, yes, this is true, what Nanda Maharaj is saying. When Krishna heard all these things, he was feeling a little unhappy. He thought these words are very, very bitter. He wasn't happy seeing his father and the Brijbasis putting so much faith in Indra. And in his heart, Krishna was a little unhappy with Indra. Why is he unhappy with Indra? Try to understand. This is an important thing. Managers and leaders are important persons. Do you have a big brother? Yes? Yes, big brothers are very important. Is it true? Yes? Is it true? Is it true big brothers are very important? Yes, he'll tell you. He's also a big brother. It's a very important job. It's also a very important job to be a mother or be a father or be a husband. And in Vedic culture, each one of those persons are considered to be a representative of Krishna. Just as we see the mayor of the town or the king, he's God's representative. We don't consider that he has to be perfect, but we consider that Krishna has given that person that position. This is culture. But in Western culture today, I think in America, after Richard Nixon and everything, nobody has respect anymore for the authorities, even sometimes for the police or other persons. And then there's chaos. We should respect authority. But authority should be qualified. If you're going to be a big brother, you should be a qualified big brother. Did you hear that? Yes? If you're going to be a big brother, you should be a qualified big brother. Not just pick on your little brother. Does your brother ever pick on you? He does sometimes. Okay. You should be a good, you should be a saintly big brother and care for him. Yes? Then you're a qualified person. So Krishna was a little unhappy in his heart with Indra. Why? Because he thought, who is this Indra? Okay, he's in charge of the demigods. He's in charge of rain. He's a very powerful person. He keeps order in the universe. He fights the demons and all that. That's important. And he was given that position personally by Krishna. But Krishna's thinking to himself, Indra is becoming proud. He's taking the worship of the Brijbasis. He's demanding it. And these Brijbasis, these are my family members. And they're millions and millions of times more exalted than this Indra. Now that's a little difficult thing sometimes to digest. Because I think pretty much all of you know, sometimes Western devotees, they think, oh, Krishna's a cowherd boy, isn't that sweet, that's cute. But they don't really understand the social connotation. If you live in India and someone just takes care of cows, they're not like the socially highest person in the world, are they? You don't consider them to be the most intelligent. Usually they just stand out in the sun all day, maybe with an umbrella, and they take care of cows. It's not the biggest thing in the world. So Krishna's saying that these village people, they're more exalted than Indra. Although Indra is a disciple of Brihaspati, he's so very, very educated. He's hearing from Narad Muni. He's a demigod. He's Sarvajna. He knows everything that's going on in the universe. He has great, great powers. But the Brijbasis are more exalted. Why? This is another very important social lesson for us. Because they have bhakti. Because they love Krishna. Indra, he's a religionist. He's a great follower and a great preserver of religion, of dharma. And that's very, very important. We should respect that. And Krishna always protects Indra. Indrari vyakalam lokam ridayanti yuge yuge. Again and again he comes to protect Indra. There's so many instructions like that. And how does he come? He comes as Upendra. He comes as a younger brother of Indra. To teach us, we should give respect to Indra. But now Krishna is thinking in his mind, what is this Indra doing? He's demanding respect from my family members. From Nanda Maharaj, from Mother Yashoda, from Upananda, from Sunanda, my uncles, my aunties, and all the Brijbasis who have so much love for me. Never mind all this official religion business. These persons are exalted. These are Mahatmas. All the Brijbasis. They're millions of times more exalted than Indra. But Indra is accepting their worship. He should refuse. What do you do if you're a 7-year-old boy and Giriraj Maharaj comes and he wants to offer obeisances to you? How would you feel? Would you like that? Would you say, yes, Maharaj, here's my blessings? No? How would you feel? I remember once I was in joining a Los Angeles temple in 1982, and once we were standing on the street, and there was a young boy came. He's about 7 years old, and he was a Gurukuli boy. He's a really nice devotee, and we decided, a few of us, to offer obeisances to him. And so we got down and offered obeisances, and I remember that little boy got so confused he started crying. No, no, no! What are you doing? We should not accept worship from senior persons. It's not right. But Indra's doing this. The Brijbasis are millions of times senior to Indra. But Indra is such a proud fellow, simply on the basis of his appointed office. That I have this role, I'm in charge of things, I'm Indra. I'm in charge of all the devatas. You should respect me. So Krishna realized this is very, very wrong. And Indra has become so very, very proud. So Krishna wanted to destroy a mountain. He lifted a mountain, known as Govardhan, and by lifting that mountain, he destroyed another mountain. And what was that mountain that he destroyed? The mountain of pride in Indra's heart. And we'll speak something more about that in our next discussion. He spoke in a very clever way to make Indra very, very angry. Krishna was a very, very smart boy. And he did many wonderful things. This wasn't so interesting today, I'm sorry. But we'll have some other stories and things which are appropriate. But I'd like to stop here. I know it's just been a little like introduction to our katha, but it's 9 o'clock at night. And many of us have to go home and do things. I'm supposed to give a class tomorrow morning, and I still have jet lag like anything, so it's a little hard. But I'd like to ask, before we stop, maybe some of you have some reflections. Vaisheshika Prabhu does this all the time. It's a very wonderful exercise. Reflection means you repeat something that you heard. You said this, I really like that. It really resonated in my heart. Or a reflection, a second meaning is to reflect on something. To think about it. Oh, you said this and it made me think of something else. My mother, when I was growing up, she would do this or something. It connected it with something else. So maybe we might have some questions, but before questions, to have a nice Vaishnava Sangha, I'd like to see if there's any reflections, any thoughts from everybody about these topics we have tonight. And then we will sing a little more bhajan at the end. Any reflections from anyone? But would you? The Brij Vasis are more exalted. Right. It's a very, very important point. And we're going to try to explore this further. The kind of crisis that happens when our religious leaders misbehave. Now, that's part of the topic here, because Indra's going to heavily misbehave. What he's going to do, it's worse than if somebody came and they decided to drop a nuclear bomb on Dallas and Fort Worth. What a horrible, terrible thing that would be, right? What a demoniac person that would be. What Indra is about to do is millions of times worse than that. Because he sends the Sambardic clouds, which destroys the whole universe. And he just tries to destroy not just the residents of Dallas and Fort Worth, who are very nice, we appreciate them. But he tries to destroy the Brijvasis, Krishna's dear devotees. He tries to murder all of them. It's a very, very heavy thing. So what do we do? How do we understand when the leaders have a problem? And that's something we want to explore a little further as part of this pastime. And another inherent point, which you're touching on, is that how do we offer respect? How do we give respect? Respect ultimately is given not based simply on seniority of age, not even simply based on knowledge or wealth or some position or even by renunciation. It's a long discussion. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives 8 different types of respect. Naramatara Maryada, which means we give respect to anyone as a human being, but more than that, Sabhyatara Maryada, we respect someone as a civilized person, but more than that, we give respect to Vidya Maryada, someone who has some knowledge. And he works his way up, all the way to Ashram Maryada, which means a sannyasi. That's the 7th position. But the 8th position of respect is Bhakti Maryada, whoever has bhakti. And that person may be in the body of a woman, maybe a housewife, maybe in the body of a 7-year-old boy. But if they have bhakti, if they really have so much bhakti, that's Vedic culture. We respect that so much. In ISKCON today, it's a little controversial. Sometimes some devotees are having some argument, and it's a social discussion. It's not necessarily as a right or a wrong answer. It's something that as a society we have to come to a conclusion about. But some people say, can women be gurus? And the next question is going to be, can Americans be gurus? Or can Africans be gurus? Or maybe we'll ask another question, can monkeys be gurus? And what about Hanuman? Or like that. And we should understand, in Vedic culture, it's not all about gender or nationality or even species. It's about qualification. And Hanuman is so very, very qualified because he has bhakti. And we see Markandeya Rishi when he was a little boy, a 9-year-old boy. He's so very qualified because he has bhakti. So bhakti is the most important thing. And that bhakti is greater than some official position. And if someone has some official position, that's needed. We're not hippies. We want to make things go nicely. It should be organized. But a proper manager is a person who respects other people according to their bhakti. And this is a very important lesson from this pastime. So thank you for introducing that. Any other thing, Prabhuji?
I was thinking of the point that you have said in the beginning, the community building. How can we come close to each other? It's not like that we are staying together in a place that we build a community, but rather we open our hearts and go and discuss confidential matters related to Krishna. And then we come close to each other and then build a community. So that is very touching. So we always think that we are staying together, we are just, or maybe we are just everybody going to the same temple, we are just a community.
Can everyone hear what he's saying? Oh, I'm sorry. We should be passing on the microphone. I'm sorry. It's very rude. I just want to paraphrase a few words you're saying. He's saying that he really appreciated about how the principle I was speaking about of community, how it requires guhyamukhyati prichati, something confidential, and it's not just that because we go to the same temple, we're community, but we have to have some. You want to say something?
I was, and then the more important point in that you have told that, it's not that, we go and open up our heart to everyone, but he should be qualified enough. That means, we have to be also careful that where we are sharing the confidentiality. So that is also very important. So that point, I was thinking that where you were saying is very, and it is, I was not thinking that from the perspective that, we should go to a qualified person just to, just because you told that we go and then share anything from our heart, inside our heart. But rather, that is a big help for us. I mean, we open up and then we get that shelter as well from them.
This is a very, very important point. What does community mean? You can live in the same house. I've been living in India for over 25 years, and I've seen so many big families, and sometimes it's horrible. You're going by their house and you're screaming and fighting and sometimes bashing the fists and things even. It can be very, very terrible. What does it mean to live together? What does it mean to have community? It doesn't just mean simply that we go to the same temple or even that we have the same guru. How can we make community? It's a very important verse in the Satpata Tantra. Hari Lila Sutochara Parishu Sutatantvaya Karya Pritasavahara Yatabhakta Nanashati. That we should learn to love devotees. Everybody speaks about love. That's the new catchword today, right? We should just have love. And that'll solve the problem. But the problem is we don't know what love is. And people say, I love you, but I don't know who I am. I don't know who you are. And I don't know what love is. So the whole thing actually has no meaning. It's just pure sentimentality. So real love means when we come together around Krishna and we hear and chant, but guhyamukhyati prichati, not just in an official way like Indra might be doing, and that we read something and that's it, but we should discuss. We should think, how is it relevant to me? And how is this confidential for me? That's a community. Hari Lila Sutochara Satesha Satatanga. We should love those persons who are speaking Krishna Katha, who are doing kirtan. And if we do that, Yata Bhakti Nanashati, our bhakti will always be protected. This is our understanding of community. This is real Vedic community. The real community from India traditionally is all based on bhakti. And this is the greatest thing we can give to the world today. I personally am not so excited about telling new people on the street, come to our temple. Although when you have deities like Radha Kalachanji, it's pretty good. And a restaurant like Kalachanji's, that's a wonderful thing. But I find most people are not interested in living in a temple. Very, very rare person. And even going to the temple, they might be. But people are very, very interested today in community. People really want community. And sometimes we think, oh, we'll make community because we'll all come together and we'll buy houses right next to each other. But we see many times that fails. Why does it fail? We need to have planned community, just like every Indian person, every cultured person, one of the most important sanskars in your life is marriage. And it's one of the most planned out things traditionally. The boy and girl, the parents are very careful selecting a husband for their girl, a bride for their boy. And astrology is done, so many things are done. When we have community, we should also think, who am I going to live with? What is this person like? That's important. But the most important thing is we should come together and do kirtan and have Krishna Katana and do service together. And then there's real love. It creates real community. Very, very important. I've been very excited. The last time I came to Dallas was, gosh, about 30 years ago or something. It's been a long, long time since I came to Dallas. But I remember I was very struck at that time. There's such a nice community of Grihasthas around the temple. And I've been hearing so many things over the years from different devotees who visited here. Naranja Maharaj is telling us some things recently about what a wonderful community there is here. And I'm very eager to come and see that and take part in that. And I'll learn something from all of you. I'll get this as wisdom. And community is a very important thing. Thank you. Any other reflections from anyone? Mataji?
Hare Krishna. Guruji, you said about community is to empower kids. Uh-huh. And to be very frank, like this week itself, like in our community, we started with kids. And you see, like these kids are also, they are wonderful. Both of the brothers, like they are a motivation group. And so these two kids were sitting, Aditya and Ashutosh. They and couple of kids in the community, they started with the kirtan. A lot. So these both kids have started with the verses and they do kirtan, and when you interact with them, it feels like they know so much, many things. Like Aditya is, like his father is, and parents have done such a great job. They know so many things by hearing to the kathas and hear, like listening to other people, that you really feel that the community from kids also, if we grow, then it will like relate to the further devotees and create further devotees and help them to go in devotion, more deep in devotion.
Community is all about children. If you have, we don't believe in old folks' communities. That's not really community. There's no future in that. That's just a place for your comfort, and you can sit and relax and whatever. Community is the most important thing, and community means empowering the youngers. That's something I've learned watching people in India for so many years. I remember, I'll give you a little example, something that touched my heart many years ago. We live in Puri. We often take devotees around in Parikrama, on the Yatra in Puri. And some of the Gurukulas teachers, they brought a group of young girls, and these girls were like 8 to 12 years old. And we were taken to different places, along with the teachers, and we went to the temple of Tota Gopinath, and I gave a talk, and then we're walking on the road together, these little girls, and the little girls, as we're walking, they're looking up, and one of them said, Prabhuji, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. That's very sweet, right? And I stopped, and I said, no. And they were all a little shocked, you can imagine. And I said, no, you should become better than me. Because you're coming from a much better birth than I am, a much better upbringing than I have. You should be better than me. And I'll never forget, it was a really, I don't know if it was a big thing for that little girl, I think it was, but it's something I'll never forget. Because when I spoke like that to her, immediately, her back became straight, and she became very happy, she became really empowered. And that's what culture is all about. That's what community is all about. Don't be envious of these young people. They should be better than us. You should be better preachers. You should preach all over the world, make thousands of disciples. Yes? Yes, you also. They should do so much. You should become so learned. You should be better than your parents. That's what real community is about. That's my humble feeling. Anything else to say? Okay, can we just have a little kirtan to finish? This is a raga that I like to sing very much at this time of night. It's called Bhupali. We were speaking about it last night. What does Bhu mean? Bhu means the earth. And Pali is a feminine gender for Pala. Right? Palana means to protect. So Bhupali means a lady who protects the earth. So what does that mean? Bhupali, we could say in Sanskrit, refers to someone who's a gopi. Right? Gopis are Bhupali. They're protecting the earth. They're working with the earth. And who is the supreme Bhupali? Is Radharani. And she's protecting this earth, which Bhu also refers to devotion. She protects devotion. She protects Krishna. She's Bhupali. So this raga is a raga for Radharani, and it's a raga for this time of day, just to put a little something in your mind before we sing. What is this time of day, the pastime going on? Okay, it's about 9:20 at night. Radha and Krishna are not together yet. Radharani meets with Krishna about 10 or 11 o'clock at night. They have a plan to meet. And at this time of night, she's suffering so much separation. Because she's supposed to meet him, but she can't. And she's stuck at home. And sometimes her mother-in-law is coming in and saying, hey, your husband just came with some friend. You have to cook for him or something. Yes, yes. And so she's cooking for Govardhan Mulak, the friend of her so-called husband, Abhimanyu. And like that. And so the gopis are coming around Radharani when Jatila's gone away. And they're doing kirtan for the pleasure of Radharani. And they're singing this Bhupali Raga to help Radharani in her feelings of separation. So this raga, it contains feelings of both separation and union. And it's calling out. It's a very, very intense raga. It has 8 different melodies to it. So we'll just sing a little bit of it tonight. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Yeah.
Bolo Giriraj Maharaj Ki. Chitta Bhagavad Ki. Premanande. Shikopat Dudishcha. Kripa Sindhu Neva Cha. Patitanam Bhavanevyo. Vaishnavevyo Namo. Shishi Radha Kala Chanje Jo Ki. Yeah! 7-year-old Sri Krishna K. Yeah! All the 7-year-olds
K. Yeah! Hare Krishna. So just wanted to share a little bit about Prabhuji's books. So let me just get this.